Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning into Inner Voice Intuitive Hour this week. This is a forum for people who are interested in the intersection between their intuition, their intention setting, their imagination, and their manifestation. So if those topics are of interest to you, you're in the right place tonight. Really excited to be here and excited to have the guest. Tonight, Mark Matheny is an evolutionary astrologer. He's been on the show before, and he's a favorite, so we've got him back on tonight. And with no further ado, I want to introduce Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, good, Jenny. How are you?
Good. Good.
Reporting from your driveway?
Yes. For folks who've been through the saga of this whole computer crash, et cetera, and so forth, now Verizon, which is supposed to be the best carrier, won't get any reception in our house. So I'm sitting out in an Adirondack chair in the driveway, hoping, knock on wood, that the broadcast goes okay. And wondering what I'm going to do in the middle of the winter, but...
Yeah, I'm hearing someone's telling me the audio is really low, so we'll have to yell.
Really, yeah, I apologize for that. Blog Talk has been having some issues recently as well. I do another show called the Intuitively Community Radio Show, and some of my folks who I'm on that show with have had some trouble with Blog Talk as well, so they're pretty dicey sometimes. They fluctuate,
yeah.
For sure. But we'll just have to work with what we've got, and hopefully it'll work and people can turn up their volume on their computer and that sort of thing. So we'll be very, very, we'll focus on clarity. We'll enunciate.
Yes. And talk really loud.
Right. Yes, exactly. So, Mark, I want to ask you, I always ask people who are on the show, you know, this is a little off the beaten path, and I'm wondering, like, when you started to listen to your inner journey and connect with these archetypes, connect with astrology, and connect with who you are as a spiritual being, did you feel like you followed that, like, or did it follow you? How did your journey come to be?
Well, I kind of always knew that just... things weren't as we were being told, and there was a lot more going on out there than we weren't aware of. So I kind of noticed that, like, people's moods changed from day to day, and there was days that were just really chaotic, like this week. and I started noticing there was, you know, like, patterns and stuff. And so I was kind of freaked out, actually, when I found out about astrology, because I was like, oh, you know, someone else is actually, I thought I was crazy, you know, and many people still do. But then I kind of noticed that, like, you know, I was surprised that other people had noticed these things and were, you know, had, there was a language to it, and, you know, there had been books written about it, and, you know, so as I delved more into it and got deeper and deeper into it, I, you know, started with the basic, you know, the sun signs and the moon signs and all that stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I saw that was just the tip of the iceberg, and you could go so much, you know, deeper than that, and just, you could look at everyone's, you know, the psychological play going on between people and... you know, just people's souls on their journey, if you will. And then
mm-hmm.
I started getting into, I found you could do charts for, you know, political things and sporting events and companies and all that stuff. And then I was pretty much gone at that point. There was no getting me back.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think it's so cool when, you know, you're in that very beginning place and you start to notice that there are patterns in the universe that are playing out, and then you realize that there are other people who know it too, and, you know, all these books and all this information that reinforces that awareness. And that's such a cool place to be on the journey, you know, in the very beginning there.
Right, right. And everybody kind of goes through this, like everybody gets into astrology, kind of goes through this, oh, I call it like a dorky phase,
mm-hmm.
where once you start seeing it play out and see how it works, then you just start doing charts for everything, and you start bugging everybody for their birthday
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and then you realize that you're wrong on a lot of stuff, and that there's another level to it. So then you dig deeper, and then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's why this surface-level part of it doesn't always work. But when you dig deeper and look at the psychological play going on underneath it,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, then the things really start to click. And then you start running charts for companies and the business that you work at and,
mm-hmm.
you know, all kinds of things like that. Then you're just... You know, then you're just a total loon at that point.
I know for myself that for a couple of years I would look at my astrology chart like every morning. You know how you get that thing that's on the computer, Rob Bretsky or whatever. But that I became much more intrigued with the aspects that were more universal, that were for everyone, and seeing how they were playing out for everyone as opposed to just my own. And that usually you could gauge people's responses and the kind of, you know, ways that they would act by what that said. And it was, I remember getting really excited by that and knowing more about how to be in the world because of that.
Right, right. Yeah, you're exactly right, because you have, like, transits and stuff to your individual
mm-hmm.
chart. So, you know, that will maybe be affecting, you know, 10% of the population or 5% or 20%, depending on what it is. Then you start to notice there's, like, the big things, like when there's a Pluto station or when the, you know, Uranus and Mars are exactly square. Then you see, like, the stuff played out on the, you know, the world events where you'll have
yeah.
all the, you know, because you can map out the dates when there's going to be the big earthquakes and the weeks that there's going to be, you know, all the mass shootings and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff. So you can see when it's the big things that are affecting everyone.
I think, too, you can feel it in the culture. Like, you can feel when people are going through something that's universal like that as well, because they respond differently. You know, they're angry or they're frustrated or they're really, really happy, you know. It's just going to get like a pulse on everyone, you know, it's like, oh, okay. And then you look at astrology and go, why is this going on, you know, and backtrack.
Right, right. I mean, it just, and like, you know, just one of the things you can notice is, like, there's a full moon on this Friday evening. So you can, you know, everyone's going to be really, you know, wired and intense, like, up through Friday
mm-hmm.
and then watch Saturday, this coming Saturday morning, everyone's just going to be dead. Everyone's just, because that's, I call it the full moon hangover.
Uh-huh,
so it's
uh-huh.
like, hey, everyone has all this energy and stuff at the full moon, and everybody's crazy. And then when it's after, it's like everyone's balloon is popped. So like every day, like the day after the full moon, like everybody acts like they're hungover or just, you know, really lethargic. You know.
No doubt. Well, you had said that you had wanted to talk about some of the aspects that are coming up in the near future, and I'd love to have you share that with the listening audience and how that's playing out.
Okay. Well, we had a lot of intense stuff going on in September, but the biggest thing that's been going on is and it's past the height of it, but it's still in effect. It's still in play. I think you can still see this with people. Is Saturn is conjunct the north node of the moon,
mm-hmm.
and essentially what that means, Saturn is work and career, but it rules structures in general. So it can be how you have your life set up, maybe the physical place that you live, maybe where you work. And the North Node is like future, destiny, what you're supposed to be working towards. So when you have some kind of aspect to the North and South Node going on, you'll see that there's lots of changes about, and people change living arrangements and where they work, and you change jobs.
And, you know, I'm seeing
Yes, there's a lot of bustling about going on right now. And that's kind of like, I look at it as people like trying to get like rearranged, like to where they're supposed to be, kind of. And so you see now I don't know if you're out in like the general public, I'm going to try to put this nice, maybe some of the not as spiritually aligned people sometimes.
I get out there every once in a while,
Okay, what I'm seeing out there is you're getting a lot of, there's a lot of bustling about, and everyone's in a really big hurry. They're sure they need to be doing something, but they're not really sure what it is.
Not sure what it is, yeah, I'm seeing that for
right,
sure.
So they're like, they're running really fast, but kind of in circles.
Yep.
So that's like, you know, that's their intuition, you know, kind of trying to talk to them, but they're still trying to kind of figure out, you know, what the heck's going on right now and whatnot. So that's been going on. There's a lot of rearranging with people going on and trying to get themselves in the right place and whatnot. So now we have a full moon on Friday, but Tuesday morning, probably one of my least favorite transits is that Mars went into Virgo on Tuesday. So Mars rules instinctual behavior, and Virgo is very analytical and detail-oriented. And so when Mars is in Virgo, it likes to do its very anal retention is at a high right now. And so is
I'm feeling it for sure.
Criticalness and nitpickiness and crisis is also a Virgo phenomenon. So I think everyone's been like exceptionally wired this week. If you maybe a little sporadic on the roadways, if you will. Now luckily Mars stays in the sign for 2 months. And luckily, we've only got 2 months of it. A couple years ago, it was in 2011, Mars went into Virgo, and it actually went all the way through Virgo, and then we had a retrograde period where it went backwards and then went forward again. So we actually had a five, instead of a two-month Virgo cycle, we had Mars in Virgo from November 2011 up through, I think it was the beginning of April 2012.
Yeah, so I remember that.
I remember that.
Too. That was put my website together, and I busted you know what at that time, and I got a lot done, but I was just like, you know, I'm going to get this done. I'm just going to do this. You know, I'm just going to push through all this, and I remember that.
Right. Yeah, that was a difficult period for a lot of people. One thing on the health side, that I would like to warn people about for the next 2 months is chill out a little bit here and there, because people are going to run down their immune systems and they're not going to sleep, because you're just going to have that instinctual drive to do, fix, correct, analyze. So you're going to have to, people need to take breaks here and there and like give the Mars and Virgo a rest, because it'll be very easily to run yourself down in the next couple months. There'll be lots of sporadic, chaotic activity.
Are there other aspects that run at the same time that this Mars and Virgo is going on that we can tap into as an alternative?
Yeah, there is. Because Mars went into Virgo on Tuesday morning, and it's going to be there until, like, the first week of first week of December, I believe it is, mm-hmm. when, and at that point, Mars will go into Libra, which is kind of, it'll be a nice chill pill at that point. But in the middle of that, we have a lot of stuff going on in November, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's many different aspects going on at every time, so you just have to kind of weight them to see which ones are, you know, the biggest ones and which one's going to have the biggest effect. But, mm-hmm. like, the period of November 5th, well, actually the beginning of November mm-hmm. through about November 20th, like the first 2.5-3 weeks of November are going to be very interesting, because when a planet changes, the planets will change speed at times, and it's called going retrograde.
Right.
And so what happens when the planet changes speed is it'll start slowing down or start speeding up if it's already retrograde and about to go direct. So within an 8-day period in November, we're going to have 3 planets changing speed.
Wow.
And
wow,
so,
3,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, that is kind of a lot for essentially an 8-day period between the 5th and the 13th. Now,
which
normally,
planet?
You're going to have, on November 5th, Jupiter is going to make a station. On November 10th, mm-hmm. Mercury makes a station. On November 13th, Neptune makes a station.
Wow.
So, that's a lot for 1 week. But here's how that plays out.
Yeah.
Whatever planet, each of the planets rule different things. Now, Mercury is probably the most famous one, because everyone's heard of Mercury retrograde.
So when
that happens, Mercury rules the mental processes, communication, stuff like that. So when Mercury is retrograde, appliances, electronics tend not to work. Communications are garbled, and there's misunderstandings with things. So actually, Mercury goes retrograde on October 21st, but on November 9th, not the 10th, it's the 9th, Mercury will go direct. So at that point, Mercury will actually, the communications will get better at that time. Now on November the 5th, or actually it's the 6th, November the 6th, Jupiter, I was apparently 1 day off on all these, looking at different books.
Mm-hmm.
On November the 6th, Jupiter will go retrograde. Now, Jupiter is kind of the big picture planet. It's kind of how
right.
we form our philosophies and put little bits of information into, you know, our big picture of how the world works. It also has to do with philosophy and higher education and that kind of stuff. But it's Jupiter's going to go retrograde at that point. And Jupiter's also one of the money planets. Like Jupiter
mm-hmm.
and Venus are two of the main money planets. So expect finances to tighten up a bit starting around that first week of November, and then until Jupiter goes direct the first week of March. So that's 3 or 4 month period there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye on your finances.
Okay.
But that's a good time to do a lot of, you know, introspection, looking back at things and, you know, figuring out why certain things happened and, you know, figuring out the wisdom in them and what the lessons were. So it's kind of a good, like, inner growing period.
Awesome.
And then we're going to have on around November 13th, let me double-check this date again. November 12th. I was 1 day behind on all those. On November 12th, Neptune will station, and it will go direct. So Neptune rules our intuition, our subconscious, and also Neptune rules Pisces. And so Neptune is the pink, fluffy cloud planet. Neptune is very foggy and sleepy, so you're gonna around the days around November 13th, you're going to hear lots of yawning. Everyone's going to be tired. Everybody you get in contact with is going to be tired, because that's the effect that Neptune has when it stations. Everyone's going to be wanting to nap. And that's kind of because Neptune's influence is so powerful then that, like, your conscious mind will want to shut down a little and kind of let your subconscious run wild a bit. That's kind of how that happens. So having all three of those within a week period, that's going to be a lot of activity going on. And the other interesting thing is all three of those are going to happen in water signs, and all three of them are in the different water signs. So Jupiter is in Cancer, Mercury is going to be in Scorpio at that point, and Neptune is in Pisces, which it rules. So all three of those signs are going to be changing speeds and stationing, and they're all going to be in water signs. So that's really going to be a period to, like, get in touch with our emotions and kind of figure out any, you know, unhealed wounds, or, you know, sort out a lot of emotional stuff.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
There should also be a lot of weepiness that week, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Probably. It plays out
sleepy,
that
right?
way as well. So,
sleepy and sleepy.
So the first week of November, when you go to the grocery store, buy extra Kleenex.
Okay.
So.
Awesome. Interesting. Well, how often does it happen that, like, three planets go retrograde, go, you know, in that short amount of time? Isn't that a kind of unique phenomenon?
Yeah, you don't see that very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you'll have two that'll station fairly close together, but to have three of them within 7 days, the 6th, 10th, and 13th. So, but to have three planets station in 1 week, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my advice would be keep your schedule kind of clear that week. Don't expect. That's probably really not a good time to be signing contracts or making big decisions or anything
right.
like that. There's just going to be a lot of...
My mother is coming to town.
Jupiter.
Yeah.
Jupiter is in Cancer. Cancer rules. That's the most motherly sign. Mother is ruled by Cancer, so that's... So, I'm sure you get lots of girl talk.
Yes, right, yes. We always do anyway, but yes.
Right.
Be prepared for a big lot of it this time around, sounds like. Awesome. Well, I also wanted to get a chance to talk to you a little bit about evolutionary astrology and how it differs from traditional astrology, and how you do it differently, how you look at it differently.
Okay. The normal Western astrology, which like the horoscopes you see in the newspapers and the magazines and stuff, those kind of focus on the sun and the moon, the sun being your basic personality, your exuberance, and then the moon being emotions and or ego.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what the Western astrology focuses on. The evolutionary astrology is kind of based on the Eastern astrology, where it's got a little bit of the Indian astrology in it, and also it's got a lot of karmic stuff in it, but it's not, there's not all the fatedness part that a lot of the, like, Vedic astrology has.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what it does, instead of looking mostly at the sun and the moon, it focuses on what's called the karmic axis, which is Pluto and the north and south node of the moon. And Pluto correlates with the soul. The north node correlates with future or destiny. The south node deals with the past or past life karmic things.
Mm-hmm.
And these are kind of the biggest influences like really on a person's chart. And I look at those things first. Just because, you know, Mercury and somebody has Mercury in Virgo, that can really be very generic and play out a million different ways. Mm-hmm. But I think of it as, and my analogy that I'm sure all my students are sick of hearing is, it's kind of like putting the outer, you know, when you're doing a puzzle, you put the outer edge, you do the outer edge first, the edge pieces. So you kind of have a framework. So you kind of look at, you know, what's the purpose of the soul in this lifetime? And then you look at the north node, you know, where is it supposed to be going? And then the south node, where is it coming from? So you have this karmic axis. And then this kind of tells you what the basic purpose of the soul is at this time. And then when you put in the, you know, the Mercuries and the moons and the Venuses and Mars, they make more sense because they kind of, you see the framework that they're operating within, and you see, you know, why does a person have Mars in Virgo or Venus in Aquarius or whatever, and you can see how it's trying to function to get, help the soul evolve to, you know, to the next point, or the next point in its evolution.
Awesome. So it takes some of the onus off the ego and off of this lifetime, so to speak. And it's more about making peace with what's going on through different lifetimes and what your soul's journey looks like as a trajectory.
Exactly. And I think it takes what I like about it, too, is I think it takes a lot of the judgment out of things. Just on a personal note, like as I've gotten older, I've tried to spend less time judging what's right and wrong, and less time, you know, analyzing why people do things, and it's gotten more to a point of understanding what journey their soul is on, and while people may not always react like you want, or, you know, people may do, you know, terrible things sometimes, you know, you can... when you have that context of, you know, what's the soul trying to achieve, and you can see the bouncing back and forth sometimes, you can kind of, you can see where they're going and understand better why it's happening. So instead of spending your time judging, you know, they're a good person or they're a bad person, it turns into, I see why this is happening, how can I maybe push them in the right direction?
Yeah, like facilitate their process a little more, like
right. And I find that makes me happier too, because instead of, you know, kind of reacting angrily or blindly to something, I can say, okay, I don't like the way they're behaving or what they're doing or whatever, but I understand, you know, they have this karmic thing they're trying to work out. And so then I'll talk to people from that view.
I think that's so interesting.
You're a bad boy or whatever.
right. I think that's so interesting that we have a choice about that, and that it's fascinating to me that a more Western astrology is more focused on, you know, judgment and how could you have done this differently and on an ego basis, but this evolutionary astrology that you're talking about with the North and South Node, it just totally shifts the whole way that we look at the point of, well, living, really, you know.
Exactly. And it's kind of a, you know, I've got 10,000 planets and water signs, so. So, you know, this is one of the reasons I got into this, because, you know, the first 20 some years of my life, you know, I was just emotionally overwhelmed all the time. So I kind of needed this discipline where I could take things and I could print out a chart and look at it in black and white or in color and see that, you know, this is kind of what's happening, instead of just, you know, oh, everybody hates me right now, or, you know, retreating back to some ego thing, right, you know, my feelings are hurt and all that kind of crap. So instead of doing that, I could look at it in black and white. It's like, okay, this is what's happening. This is the duration for what's happening. And so then from then you can go to, okay, I can either hide under my bed for 3 weeks, or I can try to understand what, or I can try to understand what's going on. And there's obviously some lesson or something I'm supposed to be figuring out right now.
I'm curious, Mark, can you, like, notice the subtleties of your astrological makeup and choose to move into a different place in terms of your chart, like, that's more in line with your soul purpose? Like, can you, it's kind of a complex question, but can you, like, decide that you're going to, like, explore this aspect that's showing up instead and work with the energies of that aspect as opposed to, you know, a more ego-based, maybe your moon sign or that sort of thing, even if your moon sign is like a minus an Aries, so that's kind of a difficult placement. But, I mean, can you say, okay, now I'm going to look at and I'm going to move into this other energy here. I'm going to make a choice to move into this other energy and to kind of not focus on this other piece.
Yeah, I think definitely. Because, I mean, you know, your birth chart is like that initial snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can progress your chart and you have different transits and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So that can kind of progress those. So plus you have, like, different evolutionary states. You know, like you have, mm-hmm. Like, 3 to 5% of the people are kind of in a... it's called the dimly evolved state, for lack of a better phrase.
Wow.
And you've got like 70% of the people are normally in the consensus state. And then you've got about 20 to 25% are in the individuated state. And then you've got about 5% or so that are in the, like the highly, the spiritualized state. Hopefully that adds up to 100 because I'm doing that for memory.
Right,
but,
right.
but the consensus, you know, that the average person who, you know, listens to the mainstream media and whatever, that's
mm-hmm.
your kind of, that's your status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to get frustrated by that. I used to think it was, you know, the 70% ruled everything, but it's really not. It's
mm-hmm.
the 70% kind of go along with whatever the rest of the consensus thinks. It's that 20 to 25% that are in the individuated state, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of a rebellious state, but they're, you know, they're realizing that...
Autonomous, yeah.
Right. They're kind of realizing that, you know, everything we've been told isn't really the truth.
Right.
And they question things and want to grow that way by experiencing different things, questioning things, trying, you know, truth seekers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really those people, I think, that drive the, you know, the evolution of our species, because those people
That's
are always...
That's an interesting way to look at it. That's an exciting way to look at it. I like
right.
how you're looking at it. Yeah.
And I don't think I answered your question, though, with my babbling.
But okay.
as far as, like, experiencing different signs and stuff, your chart progresses all the time. So you
mm-hmm.
so you still have that initial birth chart is still in place, but through progressions and transits and things, just like anybody who's like into astrology very much, you've had those times where it's like, you know, I've met 8 people this week and they're all Geminis, or
mm-hmm.
you know, I dated 4 people in a row that were Sagittarius, or you know, things like
mm-hmm.
that happen, and you know, that's more than just like coincidence. You know, I'm not big on coincidence or randomness anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's like you're being shown something. It's like, man, I'm around Virgos all week this week or this month, or, you know, or even a lot of times you'll find, like the place that you work, like it'll all be, you know, Libras in your department or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of get, you know, heavy doses of other signs at times to try and, you know, understand where they're coming from and, you know, to kind of add that to your repertoire of, it's like, you know, oh, I understand this now, and, you know, understanding their viewpoints and what their kind of karmic thing is. So,
yeah.
And two, when you have Neptune crossing over, you know, hitting in your chart or something, you're experiencing a heavy dose of Pisces, and you're going to mm-hmm. feel more, you know, maybe more quiet, more spiritual, more, you know, sympathetic, whatever. Because you're going to feel the effects of that, the transit of that planet as well, too.
I guess what I mean is, since you're experiencing a lot of different aspects at the same time, if you have a particularly challenging aspect, like a square or that kind of a thing, going on in a certain place in your chart, can you choose to move into a different place in your chart that's another aspect that's maybe more harmonious with, you know, your energies and not so challenging? Can you choose to move your energies in different directions? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of focus on different things. I think a lot of that has to do with kind of how your life's set up. I mean, if you're in a job that is, say, dealing with the public, or you work retail or a spokesperson or something, and, you know, if you have a, you know, negative transit to your Mercury or something, or your Mars, then you're going to run across a lot of people who want to argue with you during that time. So in a way, I mean, most people always have some good aspects going on and some bad ones. Now, some of them are, you know, when there's a Pluto transit or a Saturn transit, you're not really going to escape those. So that's, I guess that's kind of what I'm talking about with the, you know, you can sit and try and hide, or you can figure out what the point of that transit is.
Face the music, yeah. I think that what you're saying maybe then is that if you're in an individuated state, if you've moved your life in the direction of what your soul's calling is, you're not going to encounter as many squares or as many challenging kinds of aspects, because you've already kind of listened to yourself about what the needs of your astrological energies are.
Right. Yes. Exactly. A person in the consensus state who's having a Pluto transit is going to go through it a lot different than someone in the spiritual state. Because if you're in the consensus state and you're having a serious Pluto transit, then you're going to see all your stuff, you know, crumble, and things are going to be very difficult and painful. Where if you're in the, say, the individual, you know, the spiritual state, and you're having a Pluto transit, you're going to look at it as a time to release things
mm-hmm.
that aren't functioning anymore, and you're going to look at it as a time when you can change and grow, and it'll be about transformation. And
Awesome. Very cool.
So I mean, in general, that whole thing, I guess, is kind of about, you know, accepting change in things,
mm-hmm.
you know, with, like, an open heart and trying to find the best of it.
Recognize
trying
the gift
to grow
it.
And evolve versus, like, sitting back and, you know, feel like you're afflicted or being attacked or something, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So not from moving out of a victim consciousness into a place of greater awareness in yourself about what the purpose of the experience is.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the great tools of evolutionary astrology, is that I think it really can help people move out of the victimization tendencies, because it's
mm-hmm.
pretty prevalent in our society.
That would help everyone to move out of that place.
Yes.
And into another place. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm intrigued with this terminology that you used about individuated and consensus and all of that. That's terminology I've heard in a lot of different arenas, in terms of, like, you know, scales of morality and scales of, Maslow's hierarchy of need, these sorts of things. And I'm curious how you came across this terminology, and in what context because it's intriguing to me in many ways.
Okay. I guess I'd have to step back a bit. And when I first started getting into astrology in about 1991, probably right in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably after 3-4 years of running the gamut through the regular astrology stuff, I ended up picking up a book by his name is Jeffrey Wolf Green.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he's by far the greatest astrologer who's ever walked the earth, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just a game changer to me. He wrote two books on Pluto, and this is where there was evolutionary astrology before that, but it was not as well known. But he really like took it to the next level, and really,
mm-hmm.
He's just one of those people that every sentence that comes out of his mouth is like a, you know, just a tidbit of stuff that you can ponder for, you know, years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came up with these different evolutionary states, and you know, and he came up with these through doing, you know, thousands and thousands of charts and studying and reading and stuff, and it just played out well, just because you know, and you can see it where when I'm going to do a reading for somebody, you know, I'll get their birth info up front and stuff. And then I'll look, and it's like you don't really know exactly what stage they're in. You can't tell by looking at their birth chart what stage they're
mm-hmm.
in. You have to talk to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the difference is, you know, you ask someone why they're here, and it's like, you know, if they're in the individuated stage, they're going to want to know, or I'm sorry, if they're in the consensus state, they're going to want to know, you know, when am I going to hit the lottery? When am I going to get a new car? When, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they're in the individuated state or in the spiritual state, you know, the question is going to be, when am I going to get enlightenment? Or, you know,
mm-hmm.
when am I going to evolve? When am I going to change?
Understand my purpose like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then if they're in the other two stages, you mentioned four stages, so the bottom stage and then the top stage, what kind of questions might those people ask?
Well, with the dimly evolved or lowly evolved state, those would be souls that would be characterized as having just moved into, you know, like human consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe perhaps people, and I don't, dimly evolved can sound like a bad, I don't want that to sound like a derogatory term. It can
right.
be people with different kinds of maybe handicaps or, you know, maybe mental issues or something. But some
sure.
of those people are the happiest, most joyous people.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
You know. I mean, if you around
yeah.
somebody with
yeah.
like Down syndrome or something, those are just
yeah.
happy people.
That's
you know?
True. Yeah,
and
that's
just,
true.
They're just a little more into simple things, but they're happier on many levels. And whereas, like the, and then on the top, you know, 3-5%, the spiritualized state, those are the people who kind of, you know, your yogis or spiritual masters that really,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
understand that the physical reality is kind of
not the point at all.
It's not right. It's not meaningless, but it's certainly not all that there is.
Mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm.
you know, and what's interesting too with like Jupiter being in Cancer, Cancer is one of the best zodiac glyphs, one of the most fitting, because it's the crab,
mm-hmm.
and it's
right.
like, you know, does a crab live on land or does it live in water?
Right, you know, it lives in both, yeah.
It's kind of both. So
yeah.
That's what the whole cancer, the sign of cancer is about.
Oh,
is
wow.
Kind
totally.
Of bridging the, you know, the spirituality and the emotional part, bridging it with the physical part. So
wow.
that's kind of the key thing with cancers is they kind of live in that world between, you know, completely completely earth versus completely water, or, you know, completely spiritual versus completely physical. So cancer is all about. Go ahead.
Go on. Well, because a lot of times people who are very spiritually focused, you know, can't bridge the space to the more mundane or more simple everyday world, you know. So that's really an interesting way to look at cancer the crab, like that they can do both. They're in a place of the emotion and the unconscious, but they're also in a place where they need to be grounded with the earth and with reality and they do both at the same time.
Right, yeah, perfect example. Just like I've got my water is almost all charred. My chart is almost all water, so I'm like minutes from drowning at any time. So I notice, you know, subconsciously or on an energetic level, I kind of drew all these people into my life, but I noticed that, like, you know, I'm always have tons of Virgo and Taurus people around me, and like that's to keep me, and even, you know,
grounded.
And Capricorn some too, I've noticed that's to kind of keep me grounded, because I used to be really, really, really horrible with like day-to-day mundane stuff.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't get into it.
It
just wasn't interesting. So I've learned from having all these earth people in my life for so long that, you know, I needed to bridge, and that was part of the, because I have a ton of cancer on my chart too.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of it was, you know, bridging, you know, trying to bridge the physical and the spiritual into be a functioning unit altogether.
Mhm, mhm. I love that way of thinking about it, like that you encounter people with certain astrological signs or certain elemental energies so that you can grow in a certain way beyond, you know, your own limitations or your own comfort zone. I really like that idea.
Yeah, and it is, and I think most people, if they'll look at, I think everyone that I know has certain signs around them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of
I
times it'll
Pisces.
Be
tons
right,
of Pisces.
Right. So you,
yeah.
I'm gonna have to pull your chart. And usually, those are people to help facilitate you to what you need or to what.
Makes
now,
total
now
fun.
Most often, it'll often be people that are the same sign as your Saturn or your north or south node.
How interesting.
That's normally how it plays out. And I think of, you know, you have the 360 degrees of the zodiac, so you've got 30 degrees of 12 signs. I think of all of those as like a different frequency.
Mm-hmm,
and so
mm-hmm.
on a subconscious level, we have these, whatever, however many planets you want to count of your chart. So you had 12 planets with the sun and the moon and all that. And you have like these different, you know, so you have 12 different frequencies that radiate heavily out of your, you know, whatever, out of your chakras or however you want to put it. And then you
mm-hmm.
tend to attract things to those different frequencies. And
mm-hmm.
so...
Sure.
You know, so that's why, like, you'll have mental connections with some people, physical connections with some people, spiritual connections with some people. And it's like they're resonating to that same frequency of, that you're giving out, that your, you know, that your birth chart has. So you kind of draw those people in. You're subconsciously attracted to those frequencies.
Sure,
and most people don't
sure.
even know it. And just as a quick example,
yeah.
the place I work at now, we got bought out a few years ago, but when I started there, as I always do, I dug around and found the first day of business for the company in that location, and I ran a chart for it. And I don't have the exact number offhand, but I believe it was either the North Node or the Saturn for that company was at, I think it was at 9 or 10 degrees Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
There was like 12 people in the front office, and 10 of the 12 had something right between 8 and 10 degrees of Pisces. They had their one of their nodes or their Saturn or Venus was all. They all had something in that degree of within a degree or two of that degree of Pisces. So that's even just how on a subconscious level people are drawn to that, you know, that electromagnetic energy, that frequency.
Well, my rising is in Pisces, and I probably have a lot of fire in my chart as my active, you know, I guess thing I've struggled with or whatever kind of thing like that. And I have Pisces everywhere in my life. So they're like, you know, more just kind of relax and take it easy.
Right,
focus
right.
on the spiritual and on the gift and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, that makes total sense, but I can definitely see that. Yeah.
Right. Right, I mean, just, you know, for example, like, I have North Node in Taurus, and, like, I have, like, three friends that I've had for years, and they're all Tauruses. So, I mean, that's kind of...
I love that way of thinking. I'm going to think a lot more about that idea and notice who energetically, astrologically is around me and what the purpose of that, you know, is. I'm going to carry that with me for sure. That's really a gem.
Right, right, and even now, you know, I still, you know, have lots of Tauruses around me, and it's, you know, it keeps me grounded and keeps me from, you know, just
staying
floating away or whatever.
yeah. awesome. Well, I think I'm out in the backyard, so I have to run into the house and find out how much more time we have, but I think we're kind of down to the wire, but I want to. Oh, that's fabulous! You know, so I want to make sure that you know that people know how to get a hold of you for the wonderful charts that you do and the classes that you teach and all of that.
Okay, you can reach me. I have everything, pretty much everything, on my website. It's www.mark.methenY. Yeah, so that's my website. You can reach me at mmatheny1984@yahoo.com. That's my email. Also, there's a Powell Astrology page on Meetup. I teach monthly classes at Mystic Nirvana in downtown Powell. And I also give various lectures at different conferences and things. You can find me on Facebook. You can go to markmatheny.blogspot.com, and I have a blog that I post all kinds of weird stuff on. And yeah, and so I think I've got most of those linked up to my website. You can find me
great,
from there.
Great. And we do, I guess, probably have about 5 more minutes or something like that. So what do you want to take us out with? What's the most important concept or the piece that you want us to really hear tonight about working with evolutionary astrology or what you do?
Well, I think it's just that it's the shift in consciousness from you know, that guilt and blame and you know, victimization and stuff, which is, you know, there's so much out there of that you can look and understand what's going on and grow through things and, you know, help others on their journey as well. So it's really, it's a shift in consciousness from being judgmental and fearful to, you know, I think it's important to stay curious your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
To just, I think that keeps you young, at least mentally, you know.
Yeah.
Wondering how things work and why things work and, you know, understanding different people's point of views and where they're coming from. And, you know,
I think it helps you to decenter so you don't think that you're the center of everything. You know, it helps you when
exactly.
you're curious to sidestep yourself.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Right, right.
Wonderful.
And then you can, you know, you can learn lessons from other people's I mean, no matter
Absolutely.
How smart you are or how spiritual you are or anything, I mean, you can always learn things from other people. I mean, you know, there's so many different realms of experience out there that you can tap into through other people.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for sharing the hour. And inspiring us and giving us a bunch to think about. And, you know, thanks so much for being on Inner Voice.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always fascinating.
Yep.
Take good
Great.
Care. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, create magic, inspire magic, connect with magic, hear magic, touch magic. That's what we're here for. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye now.